So, last week, I spoke in depth about the Olympic sport curling. And this weekend, for the first time in history, the United States curling team, who always, always comes in last, won the gold medal. First time in history. I'm just saying, this kind of thing happens at Asbury all the time. It does. I also think it had a lot to do with Canadian Dwight Campbell moving to the United States. I'm sorry he's not here today, but he brought us some good old Canadian curling karma, I think. So thank you, Dwight. A couple of weeks ago, the owner of the Savannah Bananas, Jesse Cole, came to the church and gave a wonderful talk about how things have turned around for baseball at Grayson Stadium and how some of the techniques they use to accomplish this can be applied to our own lives. Jesse is a very creative and imaginative thinker and marketeer. He mentioned that P.T. Barnum had been one of his heroes, and you can see a whole lot of Barnum in Jesse. He has people doing a whole lot of fun and crazy things in order to get people to Grayson Stadium. Proverbs says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. And so the Savannah Bananas are spreading a lot of good medicine here on the coast. After the speech, some people came up to me and said, Billy, you know, many of the things he talked about, we already do here at Asbury. And I said, I know, but Jesse can get away with doing some things we can't do. For instance, I'd love to plant about 50 whoopee cushions under your seats. But that would be pushing the envelope a little too far for the church. We want to have some sense of sacredness and dignity. But we do like to have fun. A cheerful heart is good medicine. And so we like to help people laugh and to be lifted up. That's one reason our church slogan is where the joy of God is expressed creatively. Well, I wondered what other churches were using as their marketing slogan. So I went online and here are some I found. Large enough to serve you, small enough to know you. That's a good one, isn't it? Large enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Here's another. The perfect church for people who aren't. That's a real good one. Wish we had thought of that one. There were some I saw that tried to use a little humor. Where Christ is our steering wheel, not our spare tire. Right? Where you can come as you are and change inside. What happens in Vegas is forgiven here. All interesting slogans. Some are funny. All very inviting, positive, uplifting. Our text today has Jesus sharing his marketing slogan. You ready for this? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. We're the church where you can deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. How in the world do you market that? If every church used that as their marketing slogan, how many visitors do you think they'd have each year? Especially if everyone knew what carry your cross really meant. A number of people must not have liked that marketing slogan. So a couple of hundred years ago, the church changed its slogan from deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ to the slogan, We can get you to heaven. John 3:16 was the main text people used to promote this new slogan that especially became popular in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. No matter that the text was taken completely out of context, no matter that the original meaning became completely distorted, the message continued to grow and to grow and grow until it's what the majority of Christians were taught and believed and still do. I was at a funeral this week. The pastor, a very nice, thoughtful guy, said what so many pastors say at funerals. Quoted John 3:16 and said, "It's so good to know that Brother John was a believer and that we all know where he is today. For this we give thanks." And many people in the little crowd nodded their heads in the affirmative. Some even said, "Amen." And I'm thinking of the little Jewish 6-year-old boy with cancer who died at Sloan Kettering. The 9-year-old inner city girl whose family never took her to church and who was accidentally gunned down by a drive-by shooting. Or the infant child in Africa who dies of malnutrition. Surely these people really don't believe in a God who would condemn them to hell because they never experienced John 3:16 in the distorted way they view it. I wouldn't want anything to do with that kind of God. We changed the slogan. We changed the meaning of the text. We made it much more pleasant. Turned it into a life insurance policy instead of working here on earth. It's a lot easier to market. It's a lot easier to draw crowds. Easier to fill stadiums and sanctuaries saying, "I can get you to heaven," instead of deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. Just say you believe in Jesus. That's all you got to do. But you better do it soon. It may be too late. You see, there's a lot of P.T. Barnum in that. Churches have a hard sell if we stick to the original slogan. What does it mean to deny yourself and take up your cross? This is a great week for this lectionary text. I can't think of a better week for talking about this because we had a lot of young people from Florida show us what this means. Many of us grew up hearing that Hans Christian Andersen tale that begins with these words. "There once was an emperor so exceedingly fond of new clothes that he spent all of his money on being well-dressed. He hires 2 dishonest men who say they are expert weavers and can weave the most magnificent fabrics imaginable. 'Not only are these clothes beautiful,' said the men, 'they are magical. They are invisible to anyone who is unfit for his job or who is unusually stupid.' 'Those are the clothes for me,' said the king. 'When I wear them, I will be able to tell who is unfit for their job, and I'll be able to tell wise people from the fools.' And so the king paid the 2 men an outlandish amount of money for these wonderful clothes. You know the rest of the story. Not realizing that he is naked, the king walks around everywhere without any clothes on, but everyone is too scared to say something, thinking they will be judged or condemned or ridiculed. In fact, they compliment him. 'Oh, how fine are the emperor's new clothes,' pretending that everything is all right. One by one, person after person, everyone in town compliments the king until a young child sees him and says, But he hasn't got anything on. This week, an amazing group of young people had the courage to speak truth to power. In one short week, just after seeing their friends literally get shot and die, just after texting their parents and loved ones goodbye, thinking they too were going to die, and while still having the haunting sounds of rounds and rounds and gunfire invading their minds, the students of Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School modeled courage and eloquence and truth-telling and hope. Despite the fact that in many cases, these young people are now having to deal with death threats and mockery, as well as some slammed doors. Despite that fact, they are organized and organizing. And we should all be taking notes. Because this is what it means to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and follow Christ. The gun issue, of course, isn't the only cross one can pick up. But it's a very, very important one. It's just amazing how people can pretend that there is nothing wrong with our laws as people keep dying and dying. It's like pretending the emperor is wearing clothes. And so many of the laws are so bizarre. All probably due to money. Several months ago, I was at a meeting with our former chief of police, Chief Lumpkin. It was a task force looking at our gun violence problem here in Savannah. And we were celebrating the fact that the police had just made a large bust and discovered a stockpile of weapons. And as we were celebrating, Chief Lumpkin looked stone-faced and said, "Don't celebrate too much. We have a law in Georgia that requires us to sell those weapons. We have to resell the guns to gun dealers. And so some of those weapons that we confiscated are going to be back out on the street threatening our lives again." And all of us around the table looked at each other dumbfounded. Who does this stuff? By the way, the police aren't even the ones who get the money. The state gets it. There are other ways we can be called to live out our discipleship. Other crosses we can carry as we seek to help others, care for the environment, help the homeless, help refugees, deal with the mental health issue we have here in our country, fighting homophobia, fighting racism, fighting poverty, fighting human sex trafficking, working for better education, dealing with the opioid crisis. You see, going to church and worshiping God is good. Going to Bible studies and growing in our faith is good, but today Jesus tells us why we do that. Tells us how we live out our discipleship, and he's real honest about it. If you want to be my follower, you will suffer standing. You will suffer standing for what you believe in. You will suffer facing the powers that work to stifle the gospel message. You will suffer when you insist on a radical message of love. You will suffer when you stand up for the oppressed. You will suffer when you acknowledge the creative power of God at work in the world. He tells his disciples that doing these things may very well cost them their life, because, you see, he's already suspecting that it's going to cost him his. That's a hard sell. But it's not all the story. For you see, truth be told, Jesus didn't use this as his marketing slogan. If he had used deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me as his marketing slogan, he wouldn't have any clients. No one would have followed him. Who would want to go on a suicide mission? When he tells this to his disciples, this is later in his ministry. The disciples have been with him for a while. He has been teaching them and leading them. And now he feels they need to grow and to mature and understand more of what he's all about. This isn't Christianity 101. This isn't an introductory message he's giving them. But he did have a marketing slogan. In fact, he had a number of them. The kingdom of God is near. Be part of it. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, of people. Come, all who are tired and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I have come so that you might have life, and have life in abundance. Now those are some pretty good marketing slogans. They sound really different than our text today, don't they? In fact, they are very different from our text. Compared to our words today, they are deceptive. They are humbug, as P.T. Barnum used to call the words he used to get people through the door. But if we read carefully the words Jesus said in our passage today, we will discover that Jesus' marketing slogans were not humbug at all. We will discover that they are all connected and related. For right after Jesus says, if any people want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Right after he says that, he says, for those who want to save their life will lose it. For what does it profit a person to gain the whole world and lose their own soul? I have come so that you may have life and have it in abundance. If any people want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Right after he says that, he says, for those who want to save their life will lose it. For what does it profit a person to gain the whole world and lose their own soul? It's the grand paradox, folks. We gain the very meaning of our lives when we give our lives away. Are ye able? Said the Master, to be crucified with me. Yes, the sturdy dreamers answered, to the death we'll follow thee. Sing it with me. Lord, we are able. Lord, we are able. Our spirits are thine. Our spirits are thine. Remold them, make us. Remold them, make us. Like thee divine. Like thee divine, thy guiding radiance, thy guiding radiance above us shall be, above us shall be, a beacon to God, a beacon to God, to love and loyalty. To love and